working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Man, it's a little breezy out there. I don't think it's as breezy as it was yesterday, but current temperatures in the Elk City area is 71 degrees. Nathan Brewer dew point is 50. Humidity is 46. I'm sure there's some peanut and cotton action going on out there right now. The wind is out of south-southwest at 15 miles an hour, gusting up to 19 to 20. And I think that's where we'll be all day long. So we'll see what's going on. And looks like a little moisture's in the forecast. I'll have that for you later on in the show when I do the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger update. Let's check on some temperatures around our listening area. I hope everybody had a great weekend. I had a good weekend. I'll tell you about it here in just a minute. Let's see here. Looks like up in the Panhandle is the coolest place. Eva's 64, but in our current listening area, Shamrock 73, Canadian 72, Cheyenne 73. The coolest spot in our listening area is Weatherford at 69, Hobart 71. Way down there in southwestern Oklahoma, we have a whopping 75 degrees at Hollis. So anyway, that's some of our listening area. We got tomorrow, Lacey says she's going to be back, but I figured out with Lacey working at a news station for a media organization, they're about as bad as the oil field when it comes to changing your schedule at the last minute. So never know, but she talked to her this morning and she was going to be on tomorrow as long as nothing bad happened. And also tomorrow, we might have to dial up and prank call a cotton farmer while they're stripping. So after Lacey, we might have to make a little phone call out there to the field and see if we can get somebody to answer from out there harvesting some cotton. Our cash prices for Oklahoma is at 11 a.m. Hard red winter wheat is $7.48 a bushel. Corn is $5.47 a bushel. Milo is $5.50 a bushel. Soybeans are $11.25 a bushel. Wheat futures were higher overnight on continued global demand for the grain as prices in Russia rise, making U.S. supplies more attractive on the world market. Egypt last week issued a tender for delivery in December and ended up buying 180,000 metric tons of Russian wheat. Wheat prices in Russia are on the rise, up $2 to $3.27 a metric ton, according to the data from the Russia Subicon. Sounds like something off of Star Wars. Anyway, Anthony Sosava, I guess I'm saying that right, which reports on Russian wheat production and trade, said Russian wheat exports have been slowing since October due to relatively strong rumble, tight domestic supplies, and the country's export tax on the grain. Higher Russian wheat prices may push buyers to at least consider U.S. supplies. Still, exports on wheat from Russia likely will continue to be supported as the country is regaining its competitive edge on the global market, as evidenced by Egypt's purchase. Corn and beans were little changed as investors focused on this week's world agriculture supply and demand estimates. Report from the USDA. Analysts expect the USDA to increase its outlook for soybeans and corn production from month earlier forecast, according to Rutgers survey. The agency's forecast for soybean stockpiles likely will rise while corn inventories likely will fall. The government report is due out tomorrow. Wheat futures for December delivery gained 4.75 cents to $7.71 and a quarter a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade, while Kansas City futures rose 2.5 cents to $7.81 and a quarter a bushel. Corn futures for December delivery were up 0.75 cents at $5.53 and 0.75 a bushel. Soybean futures for November delivery fell 1 cent to $12.04 and a half a bushel. Soy meal declined $1 to $331.70 a short ton, while soy oil gained 0.43 cents to $59.21 a pound. Money managers last week raised their net long positions or bets on higher prices in corn to the highest level in almost 6 months, while also raising their bullish bets on beans. Investors held a net 318,824 corn future contracts as of November 2nd, the Commodity Futures Trading Commission said in a report. That's up from 235,207 contracts a week earlier and the highest level since the 7 days it ended on May 4th. Spectators also raised their net longs in soybeans to a net 43,008 contracts last week. That was up 24,760 from the week earlier. That marks the largest bullish position since October 5th. In wheat fund managers and other large investors held a net long position of 56,041 hard red winter future contracts, up from 51,843 contracts last week, the week earlier. Last week's position is the biggest since the 7 days it ended on February 16th. In soft red winter wheat, investors held a net 4,612 contracts as of November 2nd. That's a shift from a net short position or bets on lower prices of 11,571 contracts the previous week and the biggest bullish position since August 31st. The weekly commitments of traders report from the Commodity Futures Trading Commission show trader positions in futures markets. Well, winter weather has been forecasted in parts of South Dakota, and we got a chance of rain later this week in Oklahoma. A limited fire weather is also possible in parts of eastern Oklahoma and western Arkansas today. Winds will gust up to 30 miles an hour across the region, creating extremely dry conditions. That's what came through here yesterday. So, anyway, I was checking on the drought monitor a while ago, and this is for the South Climate Region. So this includes our listening area, including the eastern Texas Panhandle. Looks like most of Oklahoma and all of the Texas Panhandle is under some sort of drought condition. Eastern Oklahoma looks like they're in the white, so they're good to go. But there's some red showing up north of us, of our listening area up there around, looks like, you never know how these maps are, somewhere around Buffalo, and then the Beckham County, Roger Mills, Custer, Ouachita County area, they are in, I can't zoom this in, but I'm going to say they're in a D1 drought condition. Further south, Kiowa County and parts of Greer County down into Harmon and Jackson, we are in a D2 drought condition. So we could use a shower. A buddy of mine that lives up north called the other day, and I guess he had to go to Altus, and he, I won't repeat the exact words he said, but anyway, he called me up and he said, man, all that wheat south of Sayre going towards Willa and Blair and down in there around Altus looks like crap. That's not what he said, but looks like crap. And because they've had a few more showers up north than we have south of I-40, so their wheat pasture looks pretty good, but when I went and fed the cows at Willow yesterday, I looked at some of it. Yeah, we could use a shower, and it wouldn't hurt nothing at all. And we have a little chance, like I said, later this week. But other than that, I don't think we got much of a chance until not this weekend, but the following weekend. And then that's when we're going to get down in the 50s and the 20s and 30s for lows starting, I think, Friday or a week from this coming Friday or Saturday, if the long ranger forecast still holds up. So that's what's happening right there. And then when I come back after this first break, I got the goat sheep report from Hobart Stockyards from last Saturday. Looks like they had a pretty good sale. Also, right now, happening over there on the east side of Clinton, headed towards Weatherford on I-40 there at the Cherokee's truck stop. The Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction is happening right now. Before I go to break, I want to read this quote that I found on social media a while ago. And it comes from none other than Sandra Bree Silt. Normal people don't talk to me about work outside of work. Farmers, you guys want to meet up after work, talk about work till it's time to work again? That's farming and ranchers for you. If they're not sitting on the side of the road or at the coffee shop or at somebody's barn where there's some ice cold beer going on or helping them work cattle or something like that, they're on the phone or they're texting. But anyway, that's a true fact. Thank you, Mrs. Silt, for that. You're a lot funnier than your husband, Bill Dance. But anyway, so we'll be right back after this. You're listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Great news, folks. Ron Hayes here to let you know SEI Agritech in Elk City is now your livestock nutrition center dealer. This is better quality feed and minerals for your cattle, horses, sheep, and goats. Plus, at SEI Agritech, you can buy everything from bulk to 50-pound bags. Call or go see SEI Agritech today about your feed and mineral needs. Their number, 580-225-0317. 580-225-0317. Better feed, better results.
Docility is probably the biggest selling point for Red Angus. Red Angus cattle are just more docile as a breed, just bred into them. It's been that way for years since the inception of the breed. My two kids, and not just the kids, the older generation, they don't want to mess with bulls that are not gentle. Red Angus are more gentle to handle. We raise registered Red Angus, Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale at Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Register at lmaauction.com or download the LMA Ringside app. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and we do appreciate it.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Today in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
Yep, back. Come on. There we go. 72 degrees, winds out of the south, 16 miles an hour, gusting up to a whopping 22 miles per hour. And I'll have your long ranger here shortly. All right, well, bear with me on this sheep and goat report. I know what a goat is. I know what a sheep is. I know what a ram is. I know what a ewe is. I know what a nanny is. I know what a billy is. But bear with me on reading this report, because I'm just going to go through here and I outlined some that I wanted to talk about. And these weren't necessarily the higher or the low sales. It's just some that I picked out. So on ewe sheep, average weight was 111. The range was from 100 to 124. The low was 110. The high was 245, and it's $245. And the average price was $215.31. See, that wasn't that hard. The ewe hares, 150 and over, Average weight was 193. Low was 95. High was 110. Average price, $102.50. On the ram hares, we had 150 and over, 173 average, 110 was the low, 120 was the high, 116 and 66 cents was the average. On the lambs, on the sheep, 150 and over, 158 was the average weight, 210 was the low, 210 was the high, and you guys guessed it, 210 was the average. So anyway, all right, down to the goats. On the nanny goats, 100 and the 124 range, average weight was 108, low was 110, high was 250, so average was 176.87, if you didn't know what I was saying. Billy goats, I picked one out here on the billies, 150 and over, average was 185, 210 was the low, 210 was the high, and once again, 210 was the average. That's why I picked them. They were easy. On the kid goats, average weight from the 75 to 149, average weight 92, low was 210, high was 285, average price was $262. $262 was the average price. So there's your Jimmy Clark goat report, sheep and goat report for the day. And that come from Hobart Stockyards from last Saturday sale. And so anyway, that was, looked like a pretty good sale. Also, before I forget again, because I have this guy that's really persistent on text messaging. We got the 4-H silent auction is the next couple of days. Bidding can be done on the Beckham County 4-H page or in person at the Beckham County Fair Barn and Sayre. A couple of big items that we're having, and I seen this on Facebook last night. We are processing on a half a beef from Keith's Butcher Shop and a whole pig processing from the butcher block in Canute. The auction will start at 9 a.m. mañana, tomorrow, Tuesday. So anyway, that's for that. Got any questions, call over to the OSU Extension office in Sayre, Oklahoma, and talk to Zach Henderson. And if anybody else has got anything else going on out there with the 4-H and the or FFA, let me know. You can text me in on the KCO Ag text line at 580-225-9697. I don't care if it's Hemp Hill County, Wheeler County, Beckham, Greer, Hollis. I will put it on the air for you because I love my 4-H and FFA kids. They're the backbone of the future farmers of America. And there was one other thing I seen. Oh, here we go. South Swazoo Rodeo, November 13th, 2021. That's coming up this Saturday. Everybody is invited. And this will be at the a silent auction, cocktail hour. The host is the Holiday Inn Express there in Weatherford. And you get all kinds of stuff going on and what they got. They're raising money. Live the legacy. And they got the Dean Jackson band entertainment going on at the JC Cowboys. That's where this will be going on. All this money raised will be for the rodeo team. And there will be a courtesy shuttle available if you stay at the Holiday Inn Express from there to JC Cowboys. For you guys that don't know how to handle your alcohol or probably shouldn't be drinking, period, if you can't do that. But anyway, anyway, you can purchase tickets at givetoswazoorodeo.com. This is what these guys use to travel around and their expenses and stuff. So if you can't be there, at least get in on some of that silent auction or donate some money to the Swazoo Rodeo team. They would dearly appreciate it. Well, Mondays is kind of a numbers day for me because my brain rekindled over the weekend, and I found this and thought it was be pretty interesting to you guys. The range and variation of income and farm size is wide, as evidenced by comparisons of farm income, farm size, and crop production in different states based on the USDA data. The state with the largest number of farms by far was Texas, 247,000 farms and 126 million acres of farmland and ranches. However, the largest number of farms and greatest number of acres of farmland did not yield the highest net farm income, which was a little over $5.5 billion for collectively earned. Texas came in at a whopping second place. California was number one. They put up $10.9 billion in net farm income coming from only 69,000 farms. Obviously, those are some large and profitable farms because average net income per farm was about $158,000. At the other end of the net income spectrum in Alaska, where farms collectively netted a loss of $5.5 million, about $5,200 of loss per farm, no other state showed a cumulative net farm loss that year. Surprisingly, the largest state, Alaska, has even fewer farms than the smallest state of Rhode Island. 1,050 in Alaska versus 1,100 in Rhode Island. Rounding up the top five in farm net income per state are Nebraska with $4.1 billion, Iowa with $3.2 billion, and Washington with about $3 billion. The last one was surprising, though. Washington producers grow close to $2 billion worth of apples, and those apples are profitable. Since Washington is only 12th in total farm cash receipts but 5th in farm net income, farmers in Washington also raise cattle and produce a lot of dairy products and potatoes. The tropical paradise of Hawaii is ahead of New Hampshire, Rhode Island, and Alaska in farm net income with $111 million. Not billion, but million. A drive around the Big Island reveals thousands of acres of cattle plus goats and chickens wandering along the edge of the roads. Hawaii's 7,300 farmers working 1.1 million acres also grow coffee and avocados. What they do over there, and I'm gonna bet there's some sugar cane in there somewhere, because I always remember that commercial from the 70s with sugar cane from Hawaii. They're out there doing a little hula hula dance. But where are the farms? Another surprise to me was the top states in a number of farms. After Texas, Missouri has the second largest number of farms with 95,200. Divide the $2.3 billion in farm net income by that number, and it's only $24,000 per farm. Third was Iowa with 85,300 farms. Number four and number five were Oklahoma with 77,300 farms, and Ohio, who was number four, and this is not in the AP football polls either. This is 77,800, so they come in fourth, and Oklahoma was fifth. I was surprised that Nebraska was the third highest farm net income, only has 45,700 farms, which is 18th in number of farms. The state's largest state has a large average size of a farm, which is like 983 acres per farm. Well, I can tell you that when I was going through Nebraska, when I was working in North Dakota, I stopped. I was out in the middle of nowhere. I had to stop, take a break, and I picked this vacant place. I'm like, ain't nobody coming here. I no more got outside the truck, and here come the farmer pulling in. I was like, crap. Anyway, I told him what I was doing, and anyway, we were talking, and I asked him, I said, how big is this cornfield? And that cornfield that I pulled into had one little vacant barn and house right at the edge of it, and that's where I pulled into. And he said it was that field there, right there, was almost 9,000 acres. This is one field. I'm not, no fences, no nothing. And he said when they planted corn, they would drop pallets along the first edge, and they had a point already GPSed out in the middle where they dropped more corn and then some at the other end. And he said it was nonstop operation with a big couple of big planters, but they didn't have to worry about redoing the corn. So that's how big that field was in Nebraska. That was the biggest one by far. I did get permission to go pheasant hunting there, so that was an important part. The number of acres of farmland by state was intriguing as well. Texas towers above all other states in numbers of acres, more than twice as many as second place Montana with 58 million acres of farmland. As expected, Montana's top crop is cattle, 1.35 billion in cash, but the wheat and hay income combined exceeds cattle revenue, and Montana grows some alfalfa. I'm serious. I've been up there, and oh my God, there's a lot of alfalfa up there. Kansas is third with 45.7 million. Cattle led in cash receipts, 8.4 billion. But Kansas farmers also grow a lot of corn and soybean, wheat and grain sorghum, nearly $6 billion worth. Rounding up the top five in farm and ranch acres was Nebraska at 44.9 million acres and South Dakota with 43.2 million acres. South Dakota has a very balanced farm production between animals and grain at 3.5 billion in cattle and hogs and about 3.8 billion in corns and soybeans. And then just some fun facts here. The smallest three states in the number of acres are New Hampshire with 430,000 acres. Connecticut was 380,000. Rhode Island only has 60,000 acres. Some individual farms in the heartland are bigger than the entire inventory of farm acres in the state of Rhode Island. In fact, Bill Gates owns six more times farmland than what Rhode Island farms at 60,000 acres. So that tells me Bill's got somewhere around, 360,000 acres in there somewhere, close to it. The ranking states by gross farm cash receipts was California at $50 billion, followed by Iowa, Nebraska, Texas, and Minnesota. And the cattle is the biggest part of cash receipts for Nebraska and Texas. Most of the crops of top production states are the usual suspects. However, Texas is also producing more than $2 billion a year in cotton and over $2 billion a year in broilers. But for you people who don't know what broilers are, they're chickens. So anyway, well, enough for the... I just love doing that. I mean, who ever thought that Texas didn't outdo California in gross numbers, dollar numbers? But because, I mean, they're way big, but I guess the farms in California are more profitable. So anyway, when we come back, we got some stuff about the trucker shortage. Got some ideas for you on cattle. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, October 29th. 2,029 head were sold. 7 head of steers at 454 brought 179. 11 at 612 brought 153. 72 at 668 brought 145. 7 at 722 brought 140. 28 at 805 brought 142. 10 at 1030 brought 130. 4 head of heifers at 436 brought 159. 75 at 491 brought 151.50. 15 at 559 brought 134. 14 at 630 brought 128. 5 at 760 brought 115. 4 at 834 brought 130.50. Butcher cows were 30 to 68, bred cows 610 to 1400, butcher bulls 49 to 8950, pairs brought 1185 to 1450. Elk City Livestock Auction, South Highway 6 in Elk City, Oklahoma, sale every Friday at 9 a.m. to consign. Call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Are there any beef eaters out there? Well, sink your teeth into this. The Elk City Rotary Club's giving you a chance to win a side of beef and a freezer to keep it in with the beef sweepstakes. Get one ticket for $25 or five tickets for just $100. Go by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City to get your tickets. Grand prize is a side of beef and a freezer. Second and third prizes are a quarter beef each. Winners chosen December 11th at 8 p.m. at Elk City's Christmas in the Park in Ackley Park. Beef up your Christmas and help some great local projects with the Elk City Rotary Club's Beef Sweepstakes.
Beef, it's what's for dinner.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
The Day in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
Yep, I'm back. Hey, I got a pair of tickets right here. I was just looking over there. If anybody wants to go see Sarah Evans this Saturday night, let me make sure. Yeah, it's this Saturday night at 8 p.m. at Sugar Creek Casino. Sugar Creek will let me give you two tickets. So here's the question. Listen carefully. In the movie Officer and a Gentleman, there was two things that drill sergeant told old Richard come from Oklahoma. I want you to name me the bovine part of that. What was the bovine part of that deal that come from Oklahoma? Text that in to me at 225-9697 with your name. You got to have your name in there. If you don't send your name, you don't win the tickets. First person to text me in their name and what part of the – there was two things that came from Oklahoma, according to the drill sergeant, an officer and a gentleman. What was the bovine name of that? Okay? So anyway, have a little fun with this. And do not text in the other one because I'm not going to let you win. Anyway, so right now it's 73 degrees. Wind is out of the south at 17 miles an hour and gust up to 21 miles an hour. There's a trucker shortage going on. Also, the Mangum FFA auction is tonight in Mangum, Oklahoma, and I'm waiting on a reply back from them on time and place. Could be much, probably that's about what's going on in Mangum tonight. That didn't take long. Here we go. We got us a winner. No, we don't have a winner. I need a name. First one is not a winner. Second one is not a winner. Third one's a winner. Mario Jackson, you win. And the answer was steers. That's one of the two things that come from Oklahoma in the movie Officer and Gentleman. So anyway, congratulations, Mario. I will put your name on these tickets and put them up front at our office on the south end of the building, and you can come by and get them anytime after my show's over today. So there you go. Thanks for listening in. All right, where was I? The trucker shortage. That's what we were going to talk about. The food supply chain was able to weather the pandemic-induced challenges, but the availability of truck drivers holds the key to whether or not there will be a food supply challenge or shortage. This is according to the House Agriculture Committee Chairman David Scott, who's a Democrat out of Georgia. This started off several hours of testimony offered at a hearing at the immediate challenge of our nation's food supply chain. Scott says it's a barn burner of a crisis waiting to happen and adds failure to address it could be detrimental to the nation and to the world. And I agree with him. There's some bad things. But on the flip side of this, when I get through with this article, I can tell you how you can resolve some of that. John Sampson, testifying on behalf of the American Trucking Association, says the trucking industry is currently short 80,000 drivers. And he warns by 2030, at the current trends, the gap could grow to 160,000. Nearly 1 million. I want you guys to think about this when you're driving down I-40. 1 million new drivers will need to be trained and hired in the next decade to keep pace of the demand. We don't have a food shortage, but the supply is in the hands of our truck drivers, Scott adds. Scott shared his worry over the reality that 95% of the new truck drivers do not last more than a year. Sampson responded that the truck driver shortage, even pre-pandemic, was a systematic issue building in recent years, especially as drivers retire. The pandemic has a shortfall of 50,000 to 80,000 today. That was pre-pandemic. It was 50,000 short then. Now they're 80,000 short. He says companies have tried to increase pay, incentives, and flexibility to its drivers, but more is needed. Sampson, as well as Rod Wells, chief supply chain officer at GrowMart, voiced support for the Drive Safe Act, which is based off of a pilot program allowing highly trained younger truck drivers to participate in interstate commerce. He notes that while 48 states currently allow drivers to obtain a commercial driver's license at 18, yet they are prohibited from driving in interstate commerce until they are 21. The DRIVE Act would create a two-step apprenticeship program to allow these young drivers to enter the industry safely. Candidates would be accompanied in the cab by experienced truck drivers for a total of 400 hours of on-duty time with at least 240 hours of driving time. Anyway, I was thinking about when I was driving down the highway the other day and I looked over there. One truck driver was watching a movie on his dash cam. The next truck that I passed, he was either watching a movie on his iPhone or it was texting. So, yeah, I don't know. Encouraging future truck drivers in high school of the career opportunities in the industrial is crucial to replacing the current need for truck drivers. Sampson says ATA recently attended the FFA National Convention to share with more than 700,000 members that although there may be not be a job on the farm specifically, there are more than 700,000 jobs for those who want to work in agriculture, transportation, and warehouse segments of the food supply chain. The vaccination mandate. Challenging facing the trucking industry includes government vaccination mandates for companies with 100 employees or more. Now, if I heard the news correctly, that's on hold right now until January. And unfortunately, large carriers are seeing vaccine history in their drivers. Nearly 50% of the truck drivers are not vaccinating, and the 80% do not ever plan to get vaccinated. He explains this leaves larger companies seeing their truck drivers looking to find employment at companies with less than 100 employees. Trucking workforce data gathered by ATA indicates that an employee-based vaccination mandate based on the arbitrary threshold of 100 employees could mean the loss of 37% of their drivers for covered companies to retirements, smaller carriers, or a conversion to independent contract owner-operators. Wells at the GrowMark is already short on workers with 290 openings in Illinois, Iowa, and Wisconsin. The mandate requirements could lead to even more openings. It already is hard to find labor in rural settings. He cited a study that said 33% of the rural workforce could leave the workforce over vaccination requirements. And speaking of vaccination requirements, I hadn't heard, but unless they put it on hold today, and I hope you guys called your senator, your representative, state, U.S., I don't care if you called the governor, but today is the day that anybody under the executive branch, President Biden, was supposed to be vaccinated with both shots today or get fired or take retirement or quit. So I hope you guys, for God's sake, took 5 minutes out of your time to Google the number of your state representative, federal representative, and call them and tell them what you thought about requiring USDA. I'm just going with them. The USDA employees to be vaccinated today, and really didn't even never get put out an official form on filling out for medical or religious beliefs. So anyway, I hope you guys did that because I know what's coming next. You guys might think this is not conspiracy. This is just a thought, but you guys might think that I'm crazy, but I see in the future soon that if you want a subsidy pay through your on your land or your crops or whatever, or some help with some cattle or equip program through the NRCS, I see that they might ask for a vaccination proof. So I, laugh if you want, but I've been laughing for the last year what's going on since this pandemic started. So anyway, so there's the here's your deal on supply chains. It's not looking very good, and we'll see how it goes on with this trucking. Well, when I get back, we'll do the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast, and we'll talk a little bit about how farmers are more than likely going to reduce corn planting next year and put more soybeans and wheat in the ground. So you've been listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. First sale last Tuesday, November 2nd, we sold 896 cow bulls and calves. Thursday, November the 4th, we sold 3,556 calves and feeders for a total of 4,452 cattle for the week. Tuesday, better killing cows bring 67 to 77.50. Thin cows bring 38 to 62. Bulls brought 60 up to 90. 2 to 4 year old bred cows 950 to 1285. With a 5 to 8 year old bred cow 700 to 1075. 9 and older bred cows 700 to 900. With our 5 to 8 year old pairs 1435 to 1500. On our killing cows and bulls, we have a very competitive market. They do not buddy up, get full value. On our steer cattle, 350 to 4-weight steers, $191 to $2, 5 to 550, $157 to $173, 6 to 650, $141 to $163, 7 to 750, yearlings, $149 to $162, 8 to 850, yearlings, $148 to $159, 950 to 1,000-pound steers, $138 up to $150, and 1,000-1,050-pound steers, $144 up to $151. 23 steers weighing 1151, bring $141.25. Pays to bring your feeders to Woodward. We have 14 feeder buyers. Steers over 1,000 pounds bring 151. Selling 850-pound steers, 159. And our 5 to 550 steers, 173. Any sale barn can get sell them. But if you're going to get full value, bring them to Woodward. We work 100% for you. On our heifers, 4 to 450 heifers, 145 to 157. 5 to 550, 140 to 153. 6 to 650, 130 to 149. 7 to 750, 145 to 154, 75. 26 heifers weighing 814, bring 149.50. Again, on heifers, 7 to 750, 54.75, and 800-pound heifers, 149.50. For this Tuesday, we do have 40 bred cows and pairs, another 35 bred cows, and the Northwest Cattlemen's has a sale. We'll see what they got. Give us a call. Thanks again, Jerry Nine, and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
Hi, I'm James with Western Equipment. Listen up, any high school junior and senior, and any parent or grandparent of any high school junior or senior. By your junior and senior year, it's time to start planning for a job. Right now, if you don't know what you want to do, check out the John Deere AgTech program through Western Equipment. It's a two-year program, and afterwards, we guarantee you a solid job at one of our 21 locations in Texas, Oklahoma, or New Mexico. Now is the time. Visit west-equip.com/careers for more information to apply.
This hour's weather is brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Complete nutrition for every animal. That's what you'll find at High Pro Feeds. At High Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local High Pro Feeds dealer, providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, and sacks. Check them out on Facebook and online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
All right. I traveled to Canadian Saturday, and there's a lot of good-looking dry land cotton between Sweetwater and Wheeler and a little bit going north of Canadian, not far. It doesn't take long before you get north of Wheeler until you hit into the big grassland, big ranches of Kentville County. We stopped, ate at the, you guys are missing out. I know a lot of people have ate at the cattle exchange, but they changed their menu up. I don't know, if, just in the last few years, I guess. We stopped in there and ate after we played at the country club there. And I ordered the medallion dinner. And usually medallions are, what, a little bigger than a golf ball. I don't know what to compare them for. but they brought me that plate out, and these two medallions were the size of fillets. Get a chance, go over to the cattle exchange in Canadian, Texas, right downtown at the only stoplight, and you can get you a good food. The steaks are good. The Mex-Tex food is really good. There was nobody complaining about the food at our table. So anyway, it was pretty good. Before I go to the forecast, the Long Ranger, the person that texts me the FFA auction at Mangum tonight, here's the time and place. It'll be at the Edison School at 7 p.m. So thank you very much for texting me that back in. And good luck with the auction tonight. Appreciate it. Here we go. Long Ranger. Let me get it back up. All right. Currently, we're at 75 degrees. Nathan Brewer, dew point's 49. Humidity is 40%. I bet there's some thrashing and stripping going on right now. That's just a guess. Wind 17 miles an hour out of the south. Wind gust 23 miles an hour. Today, a high of 79. We're almost there. Wind will be out of the south at 17 miles an hour. Tonight, winds out of the south-southeast at 8 to 15. Tomorrow, 69 for a high, and the winds out of the north, 8 to 13 miles an hour. Wednesday, 20% chance of thunderstorms during the day. And that'll be 72 degrees for a high. Veterans Day, my favorite day of the year, is 63. That's Thursday. And Friday, mostly sunny. Ooh, high 56. Gonna be a little chilly. Hey, speaking of Veterans Day, check this out. Bear with me. I'm not being stupid here. So, on Veterans Day at Route 66 over at Sayre, south side of the interstate there, they're wishing everybody a happy Veterans Day, and they're going to be 15% off to any veteran with proof of service. Oh, it starts today. Actually, it starts today. I'm sorry. I couldn't read that fine print. I'm getting old. Valid 11/8 through 11/13. So it's all week. So that's even better. Anyway, when you go in there and purchase any meat in there, you get 15% off being a veteran. It don't get no better in there because veterans are my heroes. My mom was my hero, and veterans come in next. So it's Happy Veterans Day, Happy Veterans Week this week for veterans. And I was trying to get a guy in that was on SEAL Team 6 that took out Osama bin Laden to come on Thursday. And I was 30 minutes late getting a hold of him before he had already booked somebody. Because this guy, if you've never listened to this gentleman that was on SEAL Team 6, he's so inspiring. You can be a farmer, a rancher, a soldier, a preacher. It doesn't matter. This guy is inspiration to every human being in the free America. So anyway, he's not coming on. But he's coming on later in my series of shows coming up in the next month. So stand by and I'll let you guys know when he's going to be on because you don't want to miss him. U.S. farmers are likely to reduce plantings of corn while expanding seedlings of soybeans and wheat for upcoming marketing year, the USDA reported. The USDA forecast that farmers will seed 92 million acres of corn in 22-23, down from 93.3 million in 21-22. For the soybeans, acreages are projected to rise to 87.5 million, and that's up from 87.2 million. The USDA projected U.S. all wheat plantings for 22-23 at 49 million. That's up from 46.7 million acres in 21-22. The USDA's projected expansions in wheat and soy acres come as global food prices are at a 10-year high, led by increases in cereals and vegetable oils, according to the UN's Food and Agriculture Organization. The Chicago Board of Trade wheat futures this week topped $8 a bushel one time, and that's the highest in nearly 9 years due to the tightening of the world supply of milling wheat. The Chicago Board of Trade soy oil futures have cooled slightly since notching an all-time high above 73 cents per pound in June, supported by scarce global vegetable oil supplies and rising demand for soy-based biofuels. The U.S. plantings of corn, which requires more fertilizer than soybeans, could be limited in 2022 because of the surging prices of inputs. A shortage of nitrogen fertilizer due to soaring natural gas pricing is threatening to reduce global crop yields next year. The United States is the world's largest corn exporter, the number two global soybean supplier after Brazil, and one of the world's top wheat exporters. The USDA, which plans to release a full report in February detailing its annual 10-year supply and demand projections, said the figures released last Friday were based on its models and not farmer surveys. The projections were prepared from August to October. Well, anyway, I got a few minutes left here, and I thought this, you know, we got this deal going on where ranchers and farmers aren't making enough on their cattle, blah, blah, blah. Well, I'm going to give you this little deal here. John Hutchinson, he's the director of the Cattle Technical Services for Merrick Animal Health, brought some clarity to this discussion. Drawing on nearly 800,000 head of 2020 records from Superior Livestock Auction, he said small management changes can add up. You guys want to make some more money, so listen up. And you probably, some of you might already know this, but not everybody. What practice can you implement that you might not currently be doing that would have a positive influence on the price per pound of those calves you're selling? Some traits have been garnering premiums for decades. In a recent data set, dehorned or polled animals were worth $8 more per head. Medium to large frame cattle earned $7 per head more than the small frame. And medium to heavy flesh will cost $11 per head in discounts. If you got green grass, it can be hard to control flesh, but keep that in mind, he says. Some factors are determined by genetics, other by inputs, and still others by timing. To get more weight uniformly among a lot, either shorten calving window or sort groups by weight. It could be the difference between a $15 per head discount or not. Those are the things you can control, he notes. Breed types matter, and so does timing. Around 70% of calves are sold in the fall. Do you have the opportunity to change the month your market calves tries to garner a little more income? Holton has four chances to catch a different market within the same year. He runs both spring and fall calving herds and sells bred red Angus heifers private treaty out of both. They have really helped the bottom line selling the replacement heifers because I get more for those than I do steers, says the rancher. No matter when calves are sold, health programs are a big value driver and adds dollars into the linear fashion. Calves that were VAC 34 or had two rounds of shots and sold at weaning earned $15.48 per head more than those receiving one shot. Those preconditioned at home for 60 days with two rounds of shots and enrolled in the VAC 6 program add $51.60 per head in premiums. I'm going to let you guys in on a little secret. I got a buddy that took part of his calves, sold them unweaned, unworked, straight to the sale barn. He kept off with that. And then the other half, other parties got, he's did the two-round deal and of shots, and he's weaning them, going to run them on some wheat pasture for a while, and we're going to do a cost comparison. And that's what I just read. Now, I don't know if our numbers will match up with what this is, because you wean your calves 45 to 60 days at today's feed prices. I'm not talking last year. I'm talking today. It's going to be close. So we're going to find out what happens here. And this is for people that don't run theirs all the way to the feedlots. We're talking about just the average guy like me and him and some other people that raise their calves and take them to the sale barn and sell them. Holton says making a year-to-year decision on specific programs based on resources, but would not go back to doing it without one at all. So anyway, yep, it costs you money, but you're going to get it back plus some, if he said, and your calves are going to be healthier when they go to the feedlot, and people will remember that. Anyway, well, that's all I got for you today. Thanks for participating in the Officer and Gentleman Club. Three people got it right, but only one did it right. You guys have a great day. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. God bless.
Plug in and stay connected.
Check us out.
Stay connected
on Facebook.
KECO.